Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 448. And tonight, we are talking about two things. We're going to start off with the latest episode of Beastars that we watched, which is episode 8 of the final season. And then we're going to jump into a couple more episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks season 3, which Catherine just watched.
Yes. And Beastars episode 8 is... I didn't take any notes, and it definitely didn't have the punch that episode 7 had. But yeah, it's just more of the Beastar trying to find the person that's been slaughtering people. And he added a little bit more detail that apparently whoever it is killing without devouring. They're not doing this to get food. They're doing this for fun somehow, but then he's also having his little mice henchmen investigate a little bit more about who's making these weird new drugs that are hitting the market. And I've noticed you do have the A and the B team, but you will have certain characters that are never handled by the B team. So
yes.
Haru and Lugosi and Rui and Vaya the horse and his rat henchmen, all of those are always beautiful animation, like never static, just always moving around and beautifully expressive. I especially love watching Vaya the Beastar talk. He's really awesome. But he's also not very well liked, I don't think, or at least not by the carnivores, because the episode starts out with Lugosi going through the black market, and there's a huge festival going on celebrating the fact that Vaya is dead.
Yeah, everybody's all happy because Vaya is responsible for cracking down on illegal devouring, which I know we talked last episode about. I don't know, there's a difference between eating meat and devouring is like a crime, but I guess Yaya probably doesn't like the whole black market anyway. He'd just as soon get rid of all of that, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. But it turns out he's not dead. He's just recovering from his injuries.
Now, he wondered at one point, he was sort of giving a recap for the viewers, basically, but he was wondering why the counselor who tried to kill him, who is a gazelle, why the counselor showed him his face. And I've got in my notes, yes, I would also like to know that. And I'll tell you right now, they don't tell us in this episode what that's all about. They do mention that somebody knows that the counselor is the one responsible for certain things. And they say, it was a gazelle. He always wears a mask, but you can totally tell by those horns. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a misdirection there. Because Yaya believes that the gazelle is actually a mixed breed, a carnivore-herbivore mix, because that gets discussed a lot in this episode.
Yeah, because he's got fangs.
Oh, did they say that?
He did say that. That's why he was able to figure out that it was a mixed breed, because he saw his face, and he's a gazelle, but he's got fangs for eating meat.
Ah, interesting. Very interesting. So, now, you had mentioned before that the manga goes a lot into the whole idea of interspecies relationships, and this episode really dug hard into that, because at one point Yaya is talking to Lugosi, who admits that he's dating a dwarf rabbit, and Yaya is just like, it's a particular bugaboo with him, and I'm sure it comes from the fact that his former partner ditched him in order to have an interspecies relationship.
Yeah, and there was also a bit with that lion who's a mayor announcing this new initiative in the city that they're going to provide monetary support to parents of mixed-race children to help them because they tend to have a difficult time, which I don't remember from the glance that I gave at the manga at one point. I remember Lugosi thinking on the fact that a lot of times the government will give extra money to species that marry within their species because that's how they create stability in the society somehow, and that mixed-race children are apparently not as well looked at. I don't know. It's just, it's very weird. And I guess they're being deliberately provocative with this about this metaphor about racism and all that stuff. But it really does seem like, from what I read in the manga and from what they're talking about with this gazelle, they do have a problem, especially when it's mixed between like really, really different species. So I'm not sure how they're going to handle that in this show.
No, I don't know either. Side note, while some of this is being discussed on the news and everything, you have this zebra in the noodle shop, and it's like, it's not even the B team who animated the zebra. We're talking about the C or D team. I was like, oh my God, you guys, you could do better than that.
I was just thinking that. I mean, that was so slapdash. I mean, he's yelling angrily about mixed species relationships, and he's got his fists up in the air, and they're just kind of moving like, like that, like they're pieces of paper that they're kind of moving around a little bit. And I'm thinking, oh, this is like some of the worst anime that you can see has this kind of stuff. So it's ordinarily you can see when they take shortcuts, but it's usually not that bad.
No, God. So we cut to Legoshi and he's in a cemetery and he's actually talking to his mom. So that does answer that question. His mom is, we knew that his grandfather raised him, but I didn't know, is his mom dead or did she run away? Had they ever addressed that before?
Nope.
I wasn't sure they came out there and said that. Okay.
Nope. There's definitely some stuff coming up in the manga that they've addressed, but they haven't talked about it in the show.
Oh, okay. So while he's there, his grandfather surprises him at the grave to talk to him, and that's when we get a little bit of a discussion about how Legoshi is dating a dwarf rabbit. And I guess his grandfather had an interspecies relationship, but it was really hard. It was hard for him, and it was hard for the kids. So he's kind of trying to talk Legoshi out of it, and Legoshi's like, he's serious about it. And also he says he's trained for it. I'm just like, it's kind of, you know, the idea to train yourself out of the idea that you might eat your wife. So, anyway. So then we cut to this, I don't know, place, sort of backwoods spot where there's a mouse who's going to be operating on a turtle because the turtle is selling his shell and the mouse is going to do it without anesthesia for reasons, I suppose. But Yaya comes in a wheelchair and the procedure stops. And that's when he's asking the mouse, you know, where did you get the ingredients to make this super drug? I need to know. And at first, the mouse is not going to tell him.
Yep. And then he threatens the crap out of him. And the mouse spills everything that he knows about the gazelle and everything. But it's just, I'm wondering about the turtle that was going to get operated on. Like, okay, how is he going to live without the shell? Was it only going to be part of the shell? What exactly do they do with the shell? Is this another ingredient for this drug that they're making? I don't know. It really wasn't clear.
I don't know. I don't know. For all I know, maybe they just, you know, if you lose your shell, you get like a plastic replacement. I mean, you know, Legoshi ripped out his own fangs and he's walking around basically with dentures and nobody talks about that too much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's a thing. But yeah, also, you know, Yaya did come in the room in a wheelchair, but as soon as he was threatening the mouse, he actually like did a flying kick at him. So he's fine. He's walking around just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we jump to these mice. They're on a stakeout. Obviously, they're working for the Beastar, and they jump on a car going by. It's being driven by the Shishigumi, and the Shishigumi, they're making another delivery to the civet cat, who is talking about how much, he said, how much it took to make that much deer shit. He actually did, like, whatever he's working with now, it's not his own poop, it's deer poop, or he's synthesizing deer poop. I have no idea. I was a little confused there. But they're pissed because he was giving them a new shipment of the drug, and it's only 3 bottles. And so he's just like, it's more time-consuming to make this than that Kynes crap that you make. So what the civet cat is making is a much better version of the super drug. Whatever. But he's very proud. He says it's his finest batch, and it will be loved by carnivores and herbivores alike. And I'm like, oh, interesting. We haven't had any herbivores take the super drug.
Yeah, I guess it would cut into your profits if you were only able to market to half the population.
Yeah. So they're driving along. There's this whole business where one of the lions thinks he smells sewage. They almost run into an oncoming truck, but they get away. And the mouse is looking in some of the boxes, and there's a very pointed look inside the box, and it's got gas masks in it. So I'm sure that's going to be important. The lions drop off the shipment, and the mouse overhears them talking about how the boss is going to be revealing his face at this upcoming masquerade, and the mouse roots around and finds an invitation for a masquerade. So there's going to be a masquerade.
Yep.
So there we go.
Apparently so. So this leads Yaya to go visit Legoshi, and he does this whole convoluted thing where he hands him a melon, and then he asks him, is a melon a fruit or a vegetable? And apparently it grows on a vine, kind of like a squash, so it's sort of a vegetable, but it's sweet, and you don't eat it like other vegetables, so it's kind of a fruit. And this whole thing is like the whole mixed thing, where you have children who are born of mixed species relationships, and they don't really fit into one category or the other.
Yeah. And that's what's going on with this counselor. He said he's disguising himself as an herbivore to get close to herbivores, but as you pointed out, he's killing them but not eating them. Whatever, end result is, he wants Lugosi's help in killing this guy, and he'll pay him $10 million to do it. But he also makes a comment about, you know, of course, he had a leg injury, and he said a leg wound in an herbivore is fatal. And I'm like, does that mean Yaya thinks he's going to die? I don't know what that comment was about.
I don't either. I mean, I could definitely understand him talking about that as, you know, he's been damaged irreversibly somehow. I'm not sure. He seems to be getting around fine, but I'm not sure. I mean, I know with a horse, breaking a leg is fatal, and it's not just because it kills you. It's because there's no real way for a horse to recuperate while recovering from a broken leg, because their weight is so much that if you put them in a sling, their organs would probably get compressed too badly. And they really don't like to not be able to move around and walk and run and everything. But I mean, I don't know how it compares to this situation.
I have no idea. It was a very pointed remark. But of course, Lugosi, who is still pissed off at Yaya, says he doesn't need his money and everything. And Yaya says he's giving him a peek into his future, because he knows that Lugosi is consorting with herbivores and thinking about an interspecies relationship. He's basically saying, if you get into a relationship and have a baby with somebody so different from you, what kind of twisted creature could come from that, i.e. the counselor, who has obviously got some kind of issues. Mm-hmm, so they're there. And that's, we end the episode with Lugosi looking pointedly at the melon. It's fine. So weird. Not nearly as disturbing as the last episode we watched with the dead rabbits in the case.
Yeah, and or the one before that, where we had a civet cat talking very proudly about all the stuff that he can create with his butt.
Yeah. So I guess there's 12 episodes in a season?
I think so. Yep. We've got four more episodes.
Four more. Here we go. All right, so that's enough for B-Stars. So now Catherine watched two more episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3.
So Season 3, Episode 1. If you remember, Season 2 ended with the captain getting arrested for bombing the Paklid planet. And it starts out with Mariner being just furious and breaking TVs and stuff all over the place in her dad's home, because she's furious that anybody believes this and nobody's doing something. And her dad is like, you have to just wait and let Starfleet do its work. You have to trust Starfleet. But of course she doesn't. And she goes storming out. And I think there was some friend who had stopped by and he was like, I'm surprised you still keep breakable things in your house. Because I mean, she's just like breaking everything. Okay. Oh, yeah. So the upshot of the episode is that the captain is rescued by this daring raid, you know, performed by all these famous people in the Star Trek universe coming together to interrogate and to investigate and to fight their way through and just do all this stuff to finally prove that she wasn't the person who did the bombing. It was the Paklids who did it. They managed to doctor some video to make it look like it was the captain there when it was really a Paklid. So everything's saved, but we see none of it. Absolutely none of it. Because the whole episode is this wild goose chase by Tendi and Rutherford and Mariner and Boimler and trying to get a hold of a transporter to the ship to get some information they need, but that doesn't work, so they have to go to an amusement park to commandeer this old rocket to go up there, and the information doesn't work, and it ends with this like knockdown drag out fight between all three of them against Mariner trying to get her to stop throwing away her career on this wild goose chase. And then the captain and all of her first officers come in and she tells the story of how she was rescued. So we see it in little clips, but we just like the whole adventure was like, no, that was happening over there.
Yeah. Seriously. That was a choice.
Definitely a choice. And all sorts of fun things like, oh God, with the fight, you see like all three of them trying to pile on Mariner with like one of them literally diving from off camera going, wow, on top of her. And just So funny. And then some weird ass thing with mating alien blobs in the atmosphere, and they like get some of them inside the cargo bay of the Cerritos to make it look like, oh no, we're not actually, you know, commandeering a ship. We're here for a science mission, and just like getting shocked by breeding aliens who use electricity in their mating process. It's just, oh, it's so wonderfully weird.
So they never cease to amaze me with what they'll come up with alien races. I'm like, my goodness.
My goodness, yes. And also, I mean, we always see the Lower Decks people, but the captain with all of her first officers, there's always something fun going on with them. Like, they come striding triumphantly in just when it looks like the four main characters are going to get arrested for stealing a spaceship. And they're just like, you know, she's saying, oh no, I absolutely sent them off to go ahead and do this science mission thing. And they thank her for her service and they walk out. And then you hear her first officer go, we're clear. And then all of them stop smiling at the same time. The way they work together is just great.
So fun. Oh my goodness.
And also, Boimler, I think his family owns a vineyard, so that was where he was working while everybody was on Earth waiting for the captain's trial to be done. And it's like the entire vineyard is staffed with these nubile, beautiful young women who were all trying to get into Boimler's pants, and he is completely oblivious. I mean, like, one of them talks about, oh no, I managed to splash wine all over my shirt. And he's like, well, you just go get a shower. Just like, completely does not realize what the hell's going on. And Mariner's watching all this going, are you kidding me? And the next episode was also fun, but what happened was that the captain knows that she can't send her daughter to serve on any other ship because she's going to get kicked out of Starfleet. At the same time, Mariner isn't listening to the captain at all and is still going off on her own way. So she and her father have come up with a solution, which is that Mariner is going to be reporting directly to Ransom, who she knows Mariner hates, and Ransom has no respect for her. And she's like, you are going to have to convince Ransom that you deserve to stay on this ship. So So the next episode, there's a space elevator down to a planet that's broken. So the Cerritos is coming in to try to help and to, you know, take care of some of the people that have been stranded at the top of the space elevator. And there's also this planet. It's like that planet from the first season of Star Trek Next Generation, where it's all these people that are very healthy, but if you break one rule at the wrong time, you'll have to be put to death, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So it's got Rutherford and Billups, both engineers, and then Ransom and Mariner. And Mariner is all looking forward to celebrating with these really beautiful aliens, but Ransom's like, no, we're going to stay up here and we're going to fix the space elevator and send the two engineers down to hobnob with the aliens. And of course, everything goes wrong.
Of course it does.
And meanwhile, on the ship, Tendi, for some reason, convinced Boimler that he need to stop saying no to everything and being so careful. So he decides he's going to say yes to everything. And it actually works out really well for him, all told. I mean, he's got a lot of people that suddenly really like him for the fact that he's helping them with all these things. But it ends with Boimler agreeing to be the prey of this one alien that needs to hunt on a daily basis in order to not go crazy. And it looks like the alien's trying to murder him the entire time. And he does actually get stabbed. But of course, it turns out that the alien is trying to get a selfie when he captures the prey to prove to everybody, hey, look, I hunted today. Yep. And I really hope that Jack Quaid is doing all the voice work, including the screaming, because like the caterwauling that he lets out when he's absolutely terrified. I mean, he agrees to be this alien's prey, and suddenly it looks like it's going to be really dangerous, and the alien leaves, and Boimler's like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. And Tendi's like, what are you doing? You only have an hour. Run, run. And you hear Boimler running out of the room. Ah! And just random things like the alien chasing him, and he slams up against a door and somebody opens it and sees the alien and goes like that and like presses the button really, really fast to close the door suddenly. Just little flourishes like that. So fun.
So fun. It's on that show. I mean, the B storyline is sometimes like steals the show from the A storyline. I mean, it's just, it's so good.
And of course, Boimler runs to the captain to try to get saved, and she's ready to call security. And then she finds out which alien it was that's chasing him. And she's like, oh, belay that order. And it turned out she had brunch with the alien earlier, and he's a very, very nice person. And then she sees him crawling on the ceiling. Oh, he's good. You better run. And then he's just about to leave, and he says, thanks for the mimosas. And she's like, you're very welcome.
I love it. Side note, did you, okay, so you know Star Trek Strange New Worlds, that series,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
The same guy who played Pike in Discovery is over there. I've watched like maybe 5 episodes, fell away from it, don't know why. It's perfectly good. I should catch up with it. Did you know that there is an episode where Boimler and Mariner actually show up?
No way.
It's a crossover. It's actually Jack Quaid and I can't remember her name. Who plays Mariner.
Tawny Newsome, because I was just about to comment about what a great job she does in voice acting.
They show up on the episode. They are actually from the Cerritos, and they show up on the, I guess it's not, is it Strange New Worlds? Is it the Enterprise? I can't remember. But yeah, it's, oh man, I've heard such good things, and we have to watch it. We really have to watch it.
Yeah, that she's just like, because of course, you know, Ransom manages to save the day and somehow miss the fact that Mariner was all planned to run away and try to save the day herself against orders. So they have a meeting towards the very end where he apologizes because he knew, you know, he admits that he was trying to get her goat by not letting her go down to the planet, and things got out of control, but she did really well, even though, she had tried to escape down to the planet and ended up having to climb like a million floors to get back up to where she was so that she could convince him that she hadn't been trying to run away. And she comments, you know, she's like, oh yes, thank you. And she starts to leave, and then she turns around and says, you did a really good job today in saving everything. And he completely blows it off and says, oh, like, don't try to butter me up. None of that's going to work. And she stomps away, and she goes back to where the other main characters are getting ready to play their board game. And she walks up the table. So Ransom's a jerk and I hate him. I don't know why that line delivery was so great.
They all do such good work. I heard an interesting tangent. Sorry, another tangent. I heard an interesting thing today that it's a suggestion when telling stories is you've got characters who are, they have a plan that they're going to do something and everything. You only tell the audience the plan when it's not going to work, because it's so much more fun. If the plan works, you just have them do the plan as it's going along, and you get that tension where, oh, will it work or will it not work? But if you tell them what the plan is and then make it not work the whole way through, it's brilliant. And that is like, that happens so many times in Lower Decks. If the plan's going to work, they're just going to go through it step by step and you'll see it happen. But it's not going to work, they'll give you a step by step and you're like, oh, how is this going to go wrong?
What was that podcast that Hannah had suggested ages ago? Was it Rule of Three?
I think so. Yeah.
It's just, that's, oh man, is that still going on? Because you gotta, I would love to have them do a Star Trek Lower Decks, because
would be so good.
They talk about all this stuff. They'll pick a property to talk about that's funny, and they'll explain why it's funny and like what the writers and the actors are doing, and just little revelations that really blow your mind. Like, they talked about Time Bandits, and it made me feel so much better about the movie, because we had only seen the movie from like the halfway point on. So I hadn't realized the main character's parents were awful. So I was just kind of like, you know, little boys left all alone when his parents are now dead. And I'm wondering, you're going to leave it there? And they pointed out a little boy all on his own after his parents have died. That is usually where the adventure story starts. See this idea? Yeah. Like, all that stuff, that was just preamble. He's still got an adventure to go on. So I love that when people can point out that sort of thing.
They're so good. Between them, and then also you've got Comfort Blanket, which they also, you know, have everybody pick, like they pick one thing that they want to talk about, something that they watch over and over and over again, and they will always give you some kind of revelation that you had never heard before. Honest to God, the movie It's a Wonderful Life, can take it or leave it, seen it too many times, don't necessarily need to see it again and everything. But the two of them talking about it and how much they loved it and why it worked on so many levels, I'm just like, oh my God, I think I want to watch this movie again. Wow. I would love to see what they do with Star Trek Lower Decks. Oh boy. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. We are creeping up on WonderCon, starting to get prepared for that. Hugh has his movie and TV reviews that have gone up. I know you're working on a book review. I am also working on a book review. Naomi Novik had a book of short stories that came out last year that I only just found out about. So I am working on them. I think my only quibble with any of the stories is that they end too abruptly.
Really?
I wanted to know more. You know?
Okay.
It doesn't done. And I'm like, I'd like to know more about these characters, please.
All right. I'm looking forward to your review, because I think I may actually have an e-copy of that book and just never got around to reading it yet.
Nice.
Yeah, I just finished writing the review for C.S.E. Cooney's book, The Twice Drowned Saint, which is really lovely. Nice. And I am now reading Siannon, I think that's how it's pronounced, Siannon McGuire's book, Adrift in Currents Clean and Clear. And that is part of the Wayward Children series. And starting to wonder how many more of these I'm going to read, because these are the stories of little children that have gone on adventures in magical worlds and then have been brought back, and they can't adjust and they want to go back to the world where they were and they can't. And I'm like, so you're reading all these stories about little children going on adventures and you're sitting there waiting, when is their heart going to get broken? Because you know it's going to happen.
Oh man, I can only do that to myself so many times. I really, gracious. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So we should have, I'm looking at the calendar, yes, we should have a Night Vale episode to recap next week.
Cool. And I will watch more Beastars and more Star Trek Lower Decks. And is there anything else that we were going to catch up on at some point?
I don't know. I know the new Daredevil series is out on Disney Plus. I don't have Disney Plus right now. And I'm like, am I going to have to get Disney Plus? Maybe. I might wait for one of Hugh's reviews to see if I will, but anyway, one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
Start off with the latest episode of Beastars that we've watched. And then we're going to jump into a couple more episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks Season 3 with Cap... Oh, my God. Now, you had mentioned that the book... Sorry, car. And motorcycle. Sorry. I'm going to wait until it goes all the way past.
Doctor, some... audit, they managed to doctor some... Let me try again. Do you remember anything more from that episode?
Nope. Okay. Absolutely not. It's been a while, yeah.